We're not a marketing company who's trying to figure out what to sell with a bunch of money that we raised. We have a small team. Everybody in the office is an athlete. Everybody in the office uses the product. And we're really passionate about what we do.
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris, and this is episode 20 of the show. Can you believe it? We've made it to 20 episodes.
It's been 20 weeks or so, maybe a little bit more than when we started.
Yeah, our initial plan was to go every other week, and even though we try to go back to that schedule, it's been tough. So much swim run stuff to talk about.
That's true. We're so pumped that we just love bringing content. Speaking of content, this week's episode is John Duquette, the CEO of Blue 70.
Yeah.
The, you know, iconic wetsuit brand of the past several decades.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really stoked for this episode because anyone who's come up in the triathlon game obviously knows Blue 70, and they have a pretty good swim run suit, which if you want to learn more about it, you can check out our gear review of the Blue 70 Alliance in your iTunes or wherever you download your podcasts. But yeah, it was pretty cool to kind of, I mean, to me, that company was always larger than life just because when you're new to the sport, you're like, everyone has it. So to talk to the CEO and just understand like how hands-on it is and everyone is over there, that, I thought that was pretty cool, but I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, it was cool. And it's also a unique kind of look under the hood of how the process of designing and, you know, R&D, I guess, of a new wetsuit for Blue 70 is. And John and the team over at Blue 70 was also kind enough to give the Low Tide Boys listeners a discount code for 20% off at blue70.com. And that code is SWIMRUN.
Yeah, the code SWIMRUN. It's good for anything. So if you want to buy a couple wetsuits, it's fine. And the Blue 70 Alliance, which is $270, which is already a pretty economical suit for everything it's got under the hood.
Yeah.
With the discount, comes out to $216. I mean,
it's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. But we won't get into our full review. You could check that on the new bonus episode. Chris, who's our shout out this week?
This week, we're shouting out a good friend of ours, Sosi, who lives in San Francisco. And it's a funny story. Where we usually would train Aquatic Park, which has now been officially reopened for people to go in there. There was a swim run team, an unknown swim run team that was training in Blue 70 Alliance wetsuits.
Which is what we would train in.
Which is probably we'd be training in that weather, and I mean in the water temperature. And three different people sent me texts basically telling me that they saw another swim run team out there.
I thought
that was pretty funny. Doing some reconnaissance. And not Sosi, she was just the last person to reach out. But another friend of mine actually sent me a photo of like them going up the hill right by Aquatic Park. So it was even some spy stuff. It's like,
wow.
It's like, do you know these two? I'm like, I can't tell from their asses.
Yeah, based on their calves, I can't tell.
Yeah. So Chipper, how's your training been going?
Training's been going pretty well. I'm getting the feeling that things are potentially going to be opening up in the next month or two. So it's sort of, at least to me, feeling more serious about getting serious.
Serious about getting serious.
Yes. So I have been trying to keep my consistency up. So I am probably at 5 or 6 days a week of doing at least 30 minutes of something. If that's a run around the neighborhood, a ride on Peloton, or doing some weight training. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. I went on a longer run today, just 10K, but I definitely need to up the run volume a little bit. But the weather's been nice, so I've been happy to get out and get some sun on my shoulders. What about you?
Well, you know, I'm still kind of, I don't know what's going on with me. I've been training just a ton, you know, for lack of a better word, a fuck ton. And it's felt great. Like, I've lost weight. I really haven't trained this much, this consistently since before kids. It's basically been about a month and a half where I've just been really putting in some major volume. And it's been fun. And here's I'm throwing this out, putting it out in the world.
Uh-oh.
Everyone should follow our Strava group where Chipper and I are in there. And this Saturday, I'm gonna engage in some endurance antics in our county of Marin. So if you wanna check that out,
Pretty sporty.
pretty sporty.
I have a little insight into this. And
yeah,
it's
as
pretty
you should.
Sporty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You try to talk me out of it, as you should.
I did?
Yeah. You were like, why?
Oh, yeah, because Chris is doing some stuff, and I'm like, there's no races. Yeah. Like, what are you training for? It's not like we have a 50-miler in 2 months or something. So, but anyway, Chris told me that it brings him joy, and I said, go for it then.
Yeah.
So just the same as eating like 4 bowls of cereal at night gives me joy sometimes. So
any particular brand?
I try to keep cereal out of my house because of this problem that I have.
Yeah, you do love cereal.
But I actually was gifted the Magic Spoon cereal, which this is not a promoted.
They're not a sponsor of the show.
They're not a sponsor. They could because they charge $10 for a box of cereal. And I'm talking, it's not like a big family style box. I got 2, you know, pretty hefty bowls out of it, but $10 for a box of cereal is crazy.
That's hipster cereal.
Now, it doesn't have any carbs in it, which is weird.
So what's the point?
So it tastes a little sciencey, but it also tastes very good.
Okay.
So anyway,
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I'll give you like a, I'll give you a sample.
Yeah, I'm not a huge cereal guy, but when I want cereal, I really want it.
Well, what kind do you want?
Right now? I'm good right now.
Okay. Moving on.
Anyway. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it. We should just get right to the show.
Yeah, John Duquette from the CEO of Blue 70. And don't forget, if you're looking for a new suit or something new.
Yeah, or need goggles or...
They got goggles. They have swimsuits.
Booties.
Paddles. Booties, buoys, thermal suits, caps,
yeah.
You name it, they got it. That's Blue 70. Use code SWIMRUN for 20% off.
Yep. Enjoy. With us today, we have John Duquette. He is the CEO of Blue 70. He started racing triathlon in 1999. And has since then has competed in tons of multi-sport running, cycling races all over the world. He started working at Blue 70 in 2007, and in 2015, he was named the CEO. And just a few years later, he purchased the company in 2017. After 20 years in the endurance space, he's seen and experienced enough to tell stories well past last call at the local pub. While he still enjoys racing his mountain bike, his primary focus now is... making sure his 2 kids develop a love for the outdoors and making sure his dog gets enough exercise to keep him from chewing up his running shoes, which all sounds very familiar to our experience.
Yeah.
So welcome to the show, John. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, we got a puppy in the fall, and he's 7 months old now, and he's half German short hair, half Labradoodle, and all energies. So if he's not outside for 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the afternoon, he's dragging our shoes all over the house telling us, hey, it's time to go. So, takes up a lot of time.
That's funny. So John, you run Blue 70. Can you tell us a little bit how that happened and just sort of the origin story of the brand and how you came to be sort of the owner of it?
Yeah, I mean, we'll go chronological, which would be the origin story of the brand. A pretty brilliant woman in New Zealand named Lee actually started a company in 1993 and founded it as Ironman Wetsuits. It was the second longest Ironman sponsor to Timex watches. So Timex did their Ironman watch first. Ironman Wetsuits came second. And we did business as Ironman Wetsuits through 2006. In 2002, the current U.S. distribution was started, and it happened to be started in Seattle, which is where I was living. And basically at the end of 2005, I hadn't joined the team yet, but the team working for Ironman saw limitations being Ironman wetsuits. We couldn't do goggles, couldn't do bags, couldn't do apparel and whatnot because we only had the license for wetsuits. So they changed the name from Ironman wetsuits to Blue 70 in the winter of 2005-06 and launched Blue 70 for the racing season in the Northern Hemisphere in 2006. Blue 70 because 70% of the world is covered in water.
Yep.
I was working at a run store and racing a lot of triathlons through the early 2000s here in Seattle and kind of knew the guys at Ironman Wetsuit / Blue 70. We'd see him in training. We'd see him at events. And when it was kind of time for me to move on from the running store, they offered me a job. And one of the best decisions of my life was certainly taking that job back in April of 07. So since that time, I've traveled, you know, all over the world. I've got to do kind of everything there is to do. We're a pretty small company, and that leads to a lot of headaches, but it also is really good if you're a go-getter and you have interest in a lot of things, because if you have a good marketing idea, you could run with it. If you have a good product idea, you could run with it. There are no egos, and there are no boxes. If you've got a good idea, you can see it through. So I've done sales, I've done marketing, I've been to events, I've done product development. Unfortunately, I have to do cash flow sheets and forecasting. I mean, every single part of the business, even before I was CEO, I had a hand in, because everybody does. So I did sales and events through 2015. And unfortunately, the ownership group in New Zealand was having some financial issues around that time. And over time, it was looking less and less likely that they were going to be kind of sustainable. So my wife and I negotiated a purchase price, and I ended up with the trademark and the brand and the intellectual property at the end of 2017. So as Dan Enfield summed it up for me, it was both the best and the worst decision I've ever made. I mean, obviously having it be mine is a great feeling, except at 2 a.m. when I'm staring at the ceiling.
Right, exactly.
Worried about anything there is to worry about.
So you basically... I mean, this might be a little bit, this might be too
sounds
much.
Sounds like this is going to be quite the statement.
I'm going to make a statement. So it sounds like you basically saved Blue 70 from oblivion. And this is a wetsuit company that anyone who's done triathlon.
It was my first triathlon wetsuit was the reaction.
Yeah, it's either a Blue 70 or an Xterra. It's like, that's how you start in the sport. So, I mean, that's amazing. Thank you. Thank you for saving Blue 70.
I don't know what would have happened. There was certainly more debt than there was equity. So it wasn't like it was really worth anything on paper. So it was going to take somebody who knew the sport, who was passionate about it. I mean, they may have found somebody else within the sport who was willing to kind of walk that tightrope to save it. But obviously I already knew the ins and outs of it, and I saw what the potential was. Yeah. Now the good and the bad of it was, we're a much, much smaller company now than we were 3 or 4 years ago. Having come up in the industry in specialty retail and having done almost all of our business through specialty retailers worldwide for so long, we were pretty late to jump onto the consumer direct game, because I want to support the Nitros of the world and the Trisports of the world and the Sleep Heats of the world. And
Sports Basement as well, our favorite in the Bay Area.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Sports Basement is huge for us. But those retailers are drying up, right? And unfortunately, everybody knows about the retail apocalypse. So we saw our sales kind of go down a little bit every year. And meanwhile, we had some competitors who are exclusively consumer direct who get really aggressive with pricing. So it's been a real kind of challenge over the last few years to turn the ship away from retailers, and God bless them. I love them. And I'd still do everything I can for retailers, but we wouldn't be alive if we weren't trying to sell consumer direct. And that's just the way the game is played now. My point is, the company looks different and is a lot smaller than it was 4 or 5 years ago. So people think about when they bought their Blue 70 suit in 2010, and we were at every event and we were in every retailer. And unfortunately that's not the case anymore, but what we have is a very passionate team of people who are all athletes themselves, and we know the sport inside out, both swimming and triathlon and swim run. So I really like where the company is at right now.
Yeah. So great lead into swim run there. And it sounds like from my sitting here, it sounds like you and the Blue 70 team are kind of operating pretty much like a really nimble startup that, hey, you know, kind of there maybe 3 to 4 years ago, the little like swim shorts, the little neoprene shorts were the coolest thing to have. Everyone had those at the pool, and boom, you had those out within, it seemed like a month or two. I remember that, like, wow, I remember thinking that's pretty quick that they released these kind of core shorts that they had. Really curious to hear how Swim Run first came on Blue 70's radar, and then what the process was, because we've tried the suit out, the Alliance, and it's solid. So it wasn't just, hey, let's take a triathlon wetsuit, let's put the zipper on the other side and ship it. There was actually some really good thought put into it, and there's some nice things that people who actually have done swim run would have noticed and to add. So I would love if you can explain that process a little bit.
Yeah, so swim run first got on our radar because of our distributors in Europe. Obviously, the sport grew up there. It was kind of started there, and I would argue it's much more popular even today in Europe than it is in the U.S., and had probably was the first on the map, but Zone 3 and Hoob were pretty aggressive and Orco in building their swim run business. And we started working on a suit actually 2 years before we released our swim run suit. And the first thing we did was take an existing suit and put the zipper on the front and cut the legs off. And our product guy at the time, many people know, named Mike Orton. Mike raced ITU for a number of years. He was part of the Emergent Athlete Program for the U.S. Olympic Committee. He was a former college swimmer. So if anybody knew swimming, it was Mike. And Mike always wants to. He was a perfectionist. Unfortunately, we lost him to Brooks Running. He's doing men's running apparel now, but he's still a good friend of the brand. Anyway, he really wanted to make the perfect swim run suit. So we kept developing samples and giving them out to athletes, but they just weren't passing the muster because so much time is spent running. So it was about a 2-year process to go from basically a helix with a zipper on front that was prone to tearing when you're climbing in and out of the water and wasn't particularly comfortable to run in, to the Alliance suit we have now. And we also had to understand where the price point was at. And there's always going to be people who are looking for the highest end product, and money is no object. But the majority of the swim run athletes are somewhat value conscious. I mean, it wasn't long ago people were just taking their old triathlon wetsuit and cutting the legs off and cutting the arms off and calling that their swim run suit because they didn't want to spend any money on it. So we had to balance the price point and the durability and make the suit swimmable, but also make it runnable, obviously. And that's how we ended up on the Alliance, which is a very durable suit. I think it's weighted a little bit more towards durability than it is for performance, which Mike always kind of agonized about. But I think that's a good spot for it in the market. So I know you guys are all chomping at the bit to talk about what's coming next. And we've got a couple things in the pipeline. It's always easier to improve on something once you've got a starting point, right? So we're looking at a double zipper. I mean, certainly the next one will have two zippers, and it'll have a more flexible material through the legs to make running easier. It's really appealing to have arms that are removable but then reattachable. We've yet to find what we consider the best method for doing that, but I'm optimistic that soon we will have that sorted out. So you could have arms you could take off and then put them back on for the next event if the water's a little bit colder.
That is such an important thing, because swim run, unlike triathlon and a lot of other sports, you're pretty much racing that course. And water could be cold, water could be hot, trails could be technical, whatever, lots of running, lots of swimming. You know, there's no Olympic
distance. One size
fits
all.
For swim run. So having a suit that's versatile is supremely important, because, you know, if the suit is too thick, it might be too hot in like a tropical race. If it's too thin, you know, you have
You're gonna freeze in the Swedish waters.
Yeah. Right. So is that where you're kind of thinking, like you might have a sort of a warm weather suit and then keep, you know, have more of a thermal suit kind of thing?
Honestly, no. I think if we do two, it's going to be a higher performance suit, especially a higher performance suit from terms of swimmability, meaning more flexible materials in the arms, more intricate paneling through the arms and the shoulders to make it more swimmable. I think really for thermal properties, it's just going to come down to the sleeves. And if we could find a reliable way for sleeves to be able to unattach and attach, I think that would cover the bases from the thermal perspective. But I mean, look at OTO or look at, you know, I stood there and took pictures at Orcas Island and you see everything, right? I mean, I saw a woman running up Mount Constitution in a reaction full suit, and I'd see people not wearing a wetsuit at all. I mean, it just runs the gamut. And that's the hardest part about this we're so young into this sport, there's no universally recognized best way yet. It's, you know, everybody's got their own opinion of what a swimrun suit should be.
I mean, I think that's one, if I can speak for Chipper, I think that's one of the things that we love about it is like, if you go to a race, you know, there's people jerry-rigging their own pool buoys, their own wetsuits, like everything is just experimental at this point for a lot of folks until you find out what works. But I do think that there's a role for established brands like Blue 70 to kind of lead the charge on that. Do you envision coming up with sort of additional products? Like, I know you guys already make pool buoys and goggles, but anything that would be sort of specifically designed for swim run, like a racing belt that you can attach a pool buoy to or something like that?
Oh yeah. Well, what we're good at doing is taking existing products, whether from us or from somebody else, and making them better. So, our distributor in New Zealand is heavily involved in swim run out there, and he kind of jerry-rigged the pool buoy that he's pretty high on for swim run that we're, you know, we've sent to kind of get sampled properly. So basically a bigger but also streamlined pull buoy, I think, is kind of a no-brainer that attaches to the wetsuit. And then we're far from the only person to do this, but we realize we need much bigger paddles. Our paddles are fine. I mean, I go swim in the pool in our current hand paddles, but we need much, much bigger paddles.
Yeah.
I mean, pull buoy paddles, we already have the cap sleeves.
Yep.
I don't want to sound naive, but I'm not convinced that you couldn't do fins. To me, the problem with fins is carrying them on the dry land portions. But I know I swim so much faster with fins on. I just always bang my head against the wall. Like, how can we make fins kind of functional for swim run? Because in the water portion, you know, I'd be swimming 15 seconds per 100 faster if I had swim.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean,
that's a tough one.
We've definitely done races where someone just plops down on the side of, you know, right before the swim leg starts and he's putting on his fins and going. So that's definitely a way that people can go. We've also seen these little tiny fins. I don't know if Chipper, if you remember our first race in San Diego, California Swim Run.
They didn't go all the way. They kind of went over your toe and they had a little strap that went around your ankle, but you can kind of run in them. They were maybe,
kind of like finesse, tied to your shoelaces type things.
Yeah. The finesse kind of stubby looking fins. They were sort of like that, but a little bit more flexible.
It almost looked like a prop for a Halloween costume or something, but they were fins and, you know, I was kind of making fun of them, but they were super fast.
Yeah, they whooped their ass.
So
I think they're from Europe or something. And they're like, who's here has done, whose first swim run race is this? And like 80% of the race started because this is California Swim Run and Andy Hewitt's race. And it's like a great beginner race in San Diego. 80% of people raise their hand and they're like, oh yeah, these guys over here have raced the world championship like 3 years in a row. And they like just destroyed everybody.
Yeah.
But it was a fun little race down.
You know, I'll be honest, competitive swim run athletes kind of intrigue me because it seems to me the spirit of the sport is to get out and do something epic. And I would think that the vast majority of the people aren't worried about where they finish or how they place. It's very intriguing to me when I meet somebody who's really serious, like, yeah, I'm all in on swim run. I won this race, or I'm trying to win this race. It's definitely not a bad thing, but the majority of the people I run into are just like, man, I get to do this awesome thing. And it's in such a great location and it's going to be so much fun. Probably where triathlon was, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
That's the sense that we've gotten from so many people, including, I mean, we spoke to Andy Hewitt, who was doing triathlon in San Diego, like in the 80s. And he goes, the swim run right now has that feel about like such a community and everything that it was, it's what kind of really attracted him to it. And same with Chris and I mean, we're both recovering triathletes. You know, we both got into the family. We both have two kids and stuff. And, you know, we don't have time for the 6-hour bike rides anymore. So we do like doing adventures and endurance stuff. And this just worked out so well. That's what really got us to kind of fall in love with the sport.
Yeah. Sure. You know, and John, and to sort of piggyback on your point, you know, the elites, the really fast swim runners that we've met, you totally couldn't tell by just chatting with them. Like, for the most part, everyone was super down to earth, congratulating you when you cross finish line 3 hours after them and stuff. But yeah, I mean, there's something really amazing and magical, which was a term that our one of our guests would use to refer to swim run, where it's just like your connection with nature, getting from point A to B, just as seamless going from swimming to running and just carrying all your stuff with you. It's pretty cool. And sort of bringing it back to Blue 70, you know, one of the things that Swim Run tries to embody is sort of taking care of the oceans and sort of being a good steward for the planet. I mean, and just in the name of Blue 70, it's sort of an homage for the ocean. So I love that you guys are part of Swim Run. Are you guys thinking of sponsoring events, doing clinics, doing anything to try to beef up your presence on the Swim Run side?
You know, we worked with Lars's Swim Run USA series a couple years ago, and then we got outbid by one of our competitors for the next year. There's a great race director up in Bellingham, which is about an hour and a half north of Seattle, who does a couple of local events that we help out best we can. And then you talk about ocean stewardship. We're proud to work with a nonprofit run by a pretty esteemed open water swim coach named Brian Minio. It's called One with the Ocean, and they do a lot of beach cleanup. So they have two kind of missions. I mean, they are teaching people to be comfortable open water swimmers, and he even does swim lessons in the pool. But they also do ocean cleanups, beach cleanups, various charitable efforts to help the ocean be in better shape. So that's definitely something we're proud of doing. And I guess in the end, that ties in. We do look at ourselves as an open water swim company. So yeah, we do open water swim product. We do pool swim product. Our Neuro suits sell extremely well to competitive age group swimmers and collegiate swimmers, but our roots were always in open water swimming, whether that's for triathlon, whether that's for swim run, or whether that's just for fitness or for adventure.
Yeah. I mean, and it shows by the innovation. I mean, the suits are bomb proof. They work. I think when Chipper and I were testing the Alliance suits, it's pretty brisk. I mean, you know, definitely not as brisk as Washington, but it was pretty brisk in the ocean.
It was low
and
50s. I was cold.
I was pretty happy. I was pretty happy wearing that suit, tell you what.
Yeah. It was pretty funny because I think I wore it because honestly the dad bod got to me. It was the only suit that fit me at the time. But the long sleeves and a little thicker. Chris had some sleeveless suit. I was like, "Oh, I'm feeling good right now. How are you feeling with your frozen shoulders over there?" it was pretty great. And on the triathlon side, you obviously have some pretty prolific athletes that you're working with. Lionel Sanders and Heather Jackson are probably two of the most well-known triathletes around. And it seems you have a very selective kind of group of folks. Is there any particular reason behind that, or is just you've chosen to align with a couple really choice folks?
That's a great question. First of all, I'll admit our sponsorship roster is smaller now than it was a few years ago. But, you know, we look for athletes that are, I wouldn't say iconic, athletes that are personalities. I think that's the way to put it. I'm not nearly as worried about your race results as I'm worried about how accessible you are to people. I mean, Lionel with his videos and Eric Lagerstrom with his videos and Heather Jackson and the work that she does with Wadi Inc. They're just really well known. Braden Curry is one of my favorite athletes. He's out in New Zealand and I think he's going to win Kona one of these years. It's just such a pleasure working with his team and the videos that they do. And these athletes that come to us and they say, "What can we do? I've got this idea. Can you help me out with it?" And, you know, I wake up on my phone and I've got 30 pictures, or excuse me, I wake up in the morning and I've got 30 pictures of Lionel on my phone that his media team sent me. It's a very two-way relationship. And not long ago when our athlete roster was a lot bigger, we would hear from these athletes, these pro athletes who are winning races. And twice a year you get an email from them telling us what product they need. But, you know, "Hey, I saw you did this race. Do you have any photos?" "Oh, I don't know. Go look over here."
"Yeah.
Hey, you know, how's your training going?" "Oh, I'm hurt. I haven't done anything in 6 weeks. Well, you know, I'm kind of rambling, but it needs to be a two-way street, right? And the athletes who aren't contributing and kind of giving back are, you know, there with somebody else now, because we need athletes that we feel like we have a relationship with. Lionel's team, Braden's team, Eric's team are great examples. We loved working with Sarah Haskins. She's retired, but she was such a great athlete to work with because she was just so happy all the time and so understanding if we couldn't do everything we possibly could for her. And it just felt like we had a really good relationship and it wasn't just transactional.
Yeah. I mean, awesome. I think that's really, I mean, that totally that's makes cool sense to, hear to me. Too. Yeah. I mean, I feel like athletes that can show gratitude and sort of understand that they're, you know, it is a two-way street, like you said. And hey, man, the whole point is to try to sell suits and be a good marketing, you know, be good at marketing for your team. I think the other thing that's really interesting, Lionel Sanders has his own media team. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Have you not seen? He is, his vlogs are super
I mean, I know he puts out a bunch of content.
The dude's an ant. He's straight. He's a beast.
Yeah.
He's an animal. Yeah. He is an animal. He has a, I think one of my favorite things about him is he doesn't have to leave his home to get a full three-sport, four-sport workout if you count weight training. He has like a, he built himself his own like endless pool or something like in his basement.
Yeah.
And he has, you know, 42 treadmills and 10 bikes and stuff. So he just runs wild. He would be an interesting person to try swim run because he would run himself into the ground. With, yeah. I don't know who his partner could be.
I don't know who his partner could be. No, that's true.
Look,
that's true.
I've dealt with tons of athletes. I've had dinner with Olympians, world champions. Like I've been fortunate enough to spend a lot of time with a lot of just phenomenal athletes. And I've never in my life met somebody as focused and as intense as Lionel. Like there is just,
that's
he's got one mode and it's always on. He's a great guy, but man, he is just so focused. People cannot understand how focused he is. And you know, it's great for our brand because he gives really good product feedback and he doesn't hold back. If he doesn't like something, we're going to hear about it, which is great, is what we need to know. But that guy, he's earned every bit of success that he's had.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to kind of take it back a little bit on you being an open water swim company. I think that's a pretty cool distinction that I have not heard from anywhere else. And I would be curious if what sort of open water events are some of your athletes that maybe are kind of more under the radar, unknown to the triathlon swim run type world. What sort of open water thing are they doing? Big channel crossings, or you know, the rough water swim, or what sort of their, like, what's an open water swimmer's race season look like?
That's a good question. I think the majority of open water swimmers don't have a race season. They swim open water because they really, really like it. It's their therapy in the same same way people will go for a run every day. Certainly there are iconic open water swim races. You've got the Waikiki Rough Water Swim, which you mentioned. We sponsored that for a period of time. There's a Chesapeake Bay Swim. In Seattle, there's a great one called the Fat Salmon. It goes basically from the I-90 bridge to the 520 bridge. It's a 5K open water swim that's very, very popular. And there's a handful of open water swim kind of series around the country. But it's kind of like swim run. It's not a hugely competitive sport. I think the people who are competitive in open water swim, for the most part, are competitive pool swimmers that transfer to the open water. But most of open water swimming for people is about the ritual and it's about getting out in the lake. I mean, we have a lake in Seattle called Green Lake, and I love swimming there because you get out in the middle of the lake and you've got this 360 degree view of Seattle. And it just blows my mind every time I go out there and the sun is shining and you can see traffic going by on Aurora Avenue and you can see the Space Needle and all these things. And you can see all the people jogging around Green Lake and you're just kind of in the middle of it all. It's a really, really cool feeling and obviously a lot more stimulating than going wall to wall in the pool for an hour.
Yeah, the black line does wear on you. I mean, let's be honest, right? It wears on everybody. It has to.
I'd love some black line right now, though.
Well, right now I would love the black line right now, but you know.
Yeah, I hear that for sure.
You know, John, we've kept you for a while. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anything you want to plug? I'm just going to go out and say it, that Blue 70 has been awesome with us and they've authorized a 20% discount. Anybody could just use the code SWIMRUN to get 20% off their order online. But is there anything else you want to mention to our audience?
Yeah, I guess I just want to talk about our company because it's really important for me that people know that we We're not a marketing company who's trying to figure out what to sell with a bunch of money that we raised. We have a small team. Everybody in the office is an athlete. Everybody in the office uses the product. And we're really passionate about what we do. And if we have one phone number and I, the owner, might pick up the phone if you call in with a sizing question. I'm back there checking orders, taping boxes shut. Obviously, other people do it too, but we all kind of do everything. If you see us in an event, we're going to be really welcoming. We're going to be very reasonable. We're just a real company that works really well together, and we love being part of the sport.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that really comes through. And like Chris has said, the interactions that we've had with Bluesemity have such that kind of family touch to it almost, I guess I would say. It's really awesome to get that level of service and connection, I guess, with a brand that people aren't used to, frankly. People aren't used to sort of having those interactions. And, oh, you know, that's funny that you mentioned, oh, the CEO can pick the phone up and you could chat with them about, oh, hey, I'm in between these sizes. Which way should I go? And the person that owns the company's in. I mean, that's not going to happen at Wells Fargo.
Well, I think that and that John knows the answer, right? So if the CEO,
yeah, that's pretty
you
good
know,
too.
CEO, you call and talk to the CEO, you know, in this case would know the answer, which is awesome. So yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time and yeah, see you out there.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Thank you for listening to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave a review on iTunes if you're so inclined.
You can also sign up for a newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, drop us an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Writing Easy Records for our show music. And of course, our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run activities, hobbies, and other bullshit we do.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
And then a run.
And then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then run to the finish line and just keep going until you're done.
Yes.
Or until you cross the finish line.
Or run to the car.
Or run to your car.
Somewhere. Just keep running.
Oh, yeah.